Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, February the 12th, 43rd day of the new year. Wasn't this like Lincoln's birthday? Or is it Washington's birthday? We have to go back to elementary school.
Yeah, you know, I have to look at Now I think people just think of it as
February 12th.
Winter break or something. Yeah.
Well, President's Week.
Yeah.
I think it was... I'm going with Lincoln. We'll have to look it up during the break. 43rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass.
How are you?
Are you going Lincoln or are you going Washington? I think Washington was on the
22nd. Calendar. I just looked up.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, this is bad. Now they don't have kids in school. I've been less.
Well, that probably wouldn't matter for the last 20 years anyway if they made President's Week or President's Day. So we'll figure that one out. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Planning Commission. Here it comes again. Different form. We're going to be talking a little bit about what the commission does. Also, Virginia is going to make a semi-formal announcement or a formal semi-formal announcement or bring us up to speed a little bit about what's going on with the Planning Commission.
Me really confused right now.
That's good. That's when you actually say things that are viable. And we'll figure out what is viable when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 313. Welcome back to our Lincoln Day show. Yeah, pulled that one out of the back recesses of my mind. Virginia Bass is alongside. Our quote this afternoon. Oh, let's see. Do you remember Mary Hartman?
Yes, I do.
Do you? Okay. I think that was Fernwood Tonight, wasn't it? Right around that?
I just remember the
Martin
visuals.
Mull.
You're pretty young. I mean, I was still pretty young.
And I was kind of sort of young. Okay, well, the quote comes from the television series Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. Quote, Al didn't smile for 40 years. You got to admire a man like that.
All right.
I could look for a Lincoln quote, I suppose.
It might take a while since it took this long to remember whose birthday it really was.
Well, fine.
You know, it's funny, we have all these little gadgets we could have plugged it right in. And
well, that's...
We're looking for a paper.
The human mind is a little bit better. Yeah, a little bit quicker. A little bit more apt to screw up. Okay, well, I wonder where that... Shoot, there was a Lincoln quote. It said page 604. Oh, item number 604. That's why I couldn't find the
Your book's
thing.
Falling apart. Somebody needs to get you a new book.
Well, I've had a couple people who have cared enough to bring them in. You can tell that right there on that pile. Let's see if this is one.
I think he's meaning I haven't cared enough to bring one in.
That would be along the lines of that comment, yes. Okay, here we go. Abraham Lincoln on Abe's Day. Quote, what kills a skunk is the publicity it gives itself.
That is actually very true still today.
Really? Amazing, a quote that's actually still true. Thanks for the credit.
Well, it made more sense than the other one.
All right. Fair enough. Let's talk a little bit about the Planning Commission. Since you've had an appointment come on board, there have been a couple of appointments that have come on board. And I think the last time most folks really were talking about or focusing on the Planning Commission is back when the general plan process was less aged. And just kind of keep
word.
It there, yes, younger than what it is today. In the basic essence of what the task is, what does the Planning Commission do?
Are you talking just with general plan or their bigger scope? It's actually much bigger than the general plan. Most people, a lot of it is just very basic permits, conditional use permits. Say somebody wanted to do a reggae on the river type event or medical marijuana, you know, something that is not in the regular course of business that you have to actually go through this process, that's probably what happens most often in the Planning Commission meetings. They're also involved, obviously, in the general plan, and they're also right now going to be looking at the housing element, which is a portion of the general plan, but it kind of runs on its own track. And so while they're looking at it, and yes, it's part of the general plan, they have a specific intent on, you know, making sure that our availability of land fits with the housing needs the community is going to have.
Now, that's based on future growth patterns. Where does that information come from?
Yeah, a lot of that comes from, we've talked about these numbers called the RENA numbers, which is a housing allocation that is actually, you know, based on, you know, something from the state. And then it comes down to the local jurisdictions to figure out who's actually responsible for what portion of those numbers. Last time that happened, I'm trying to think how many years ago it was, maybe five, the numbers were way high that we were given from the state that we had to go and parcel out. What we're looking at this time is the numbers are lower. So how is that actually going to look when we get to the housing element? What adjustments are we going to be able to make? Those are some of the areas where the Planning Commission is going to be, you know, taking an in-depth look before it comes back to us.
So these are lower numbers of anticipated additional housing units?
Well, for lower, low moderate, affordable housing. That's mostly what the RENA numbers are based on. If I didn't say it before, it's regional housing allocation, needs allocation. And
so it's low cost or affordable housing?
It's in because there's an effort, you know, the state community development wants to make sure that you can have adequate land to take care of the community needs.
And there must be some federal housing monies hooked to that to increase their sensitivity to this.
Of course, yes. And you have to have adopted elements that are certified that.
Is the county also participating in the federal largesse for this? Or is it just you should, you shall, rather than having some revenue reimbursement?
You know, that's a good question. I think I take it as a you shall, but, you know, perhaps there's latitude in there. It just doesn't ever seem like we don't get a lot of free choice.
Yeah, I am sensing that.
I never knew what government mandates and it's just amazing how much local control you lose.
So with those challenges that are out there, I guess what we ought to be focusing on then when we come back is how do you fit that in and not tear up neighborhoods?
Yeah.
Well, something
that might
to consider.
You know, we'll have months to talk about this one.
But
I think
that's
we can
okay.
talk about, you know.
Oh, yeah, don't argue yet. KINS, News and Information Times 319.
When?
We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, as you're looking at from, I guess you're a couple steps removed up the ladder with housing stock, with who has what, with the affordable housing and all those types of things.
Yeah, it comes back to us.
I would imagine because you guys are the final decision makers in the process.
But
you're
at
not
the moment,
doing,
you're
not
right.
doing the grind on this.
No.
So if the state has come back with lower numbers than what it had before, does that mean that you then don't have to have as many affordable housing units set aside, or I guess allowed, or encouraging the building community to build these units because the state now has now changed numbers, or is this a year-by-year number that comes in?
It's not year-by-year. I believe it's in five-year. It comes in cycles, and it's not so much, I think it's more accurate to say the available land with available services. It doesn't mean that anyone is going to, you know, eventually build those, but if somebody does want to take on the project, there it's available to do. What it means to have lower numbers means that all that land that we rezoned during this last run, where we did not have what was considered adequate sites, will be looked at and adjusted. You know, some of those I think will just fall out automatically. There's some belief that maybe a few of those weren't appropriate in the first place. There could be opportunities for people to maybe take theirs out of that zoning. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how it moves forward. Some people like to have their property zoned for multifamily, and if you change that, you know, you're setting yourself up for a risk of making their money, their property, worth less to them in the long run. And then that'd be called downzoning, which, you know, gets you into some real sticky issues. But we will be taking a look at that. It's good news from the perspective that last time we had a very difficult time meeting the numbers that we were required to meet. And I think these are more reasonable for attainment.
So do landowners, in essence, volunteer their property to be included for this? Because it would seem like if that was the primary motivator, the revenue, a potential revenue stream that you were referencing, I would think that there would be those who would want and those that would choose not to.
Yeah, you know, and this is, before I came on the board, what they were doing, people were not necessarily being allowed to be a voluntary change in zoning. However, when we started going through this process early on in my term, the board said, you know, this needs to be voluntary. And so most of the people on the list would fit in that category.
So they really are losing. They really are losing then if they're taken off,
well,
because they have volunteered to
put them on.
Put it
so
on.
Some people specifically volunteered to put them on. I think the part that's the real sticky issue is, while someone maybe voluntarily put their property on, adjacent neighbor owners might not have been very happy about the coming potential change to their neighborhood. And so, you know, you're balancing a lot of balls, or, you know, things up in the air to try to land on the right answer.
Now, when this type of thing happens, a rezoning of a piece of property, typically an EIR is required if it's a private concern. Does the county or the state have those same requirements to do an EIR? So if the adjacent property owner says, hey, this is going to lower my property by X amount, you can show documentation that it isn't? Or if it is there compensation available for that existing property owner?
My understanding, since this is only the first time I've been through the whole process with this, is that with this type of situation, if changes are made, the county basically does one big EIR for all of the changes that try to address the various issues. That makes a lot more sense than, you know, waiting individually. So I'll be happy to come back and show you the resulting information. Am I supposed to be, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, you just have to wait and see, Brian.
Well, it's curious, because I think everybody's sensitivity is at the pocketbook level. So if folks have made allowances for something like this, okay, if they're made less whole, there would seem to be something that would be going on. But on the flip side, if we were looking at developing a piece of property, typically there is an EIR because it does have some impact on those surrounding neighborhoods. So it would seem to make sense that the county would be responsible for an EIR if they were going to be setting aside or designating certain pieces of property for that potential.
Well, I can tell you from the last round that we did, I have huge binders and binders in my office that go through each individual piece of property and what, you know, they did look at the items. And I suspect that we'll see, you know, some of that again, maybe a little different if some are being taken off. But yeah, so I think the house, the Planning Commission, you know, will do a fine job.
Good. Well, we'll talk about that Planning Commission also. See, we teased it now for half the show. Okay, so the new appointment will be revealed when we come back.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. So, Virginia, we spent half the program talking about the Planning Commission, some of the things that it does that are not necessarily general plan related. However, there are still those folks that are, and probably will only be sensitized to the Planning Commission in conjunction with general plan, or maybe a closing of a school, or opening of a school. I mean, that kind of stuff might fall into play there as well.
There's a certain few number of items that.
Yeah, but for most folks, I mean, it's a onesie instead of a huge splash. So when you're looking for planning commissioners, are you looking for a certain profile of an individual, or somebody to hit a prescribed? Yeah, if we had our baseball team, since that's now 2 weeks away for the first broadcast, that's kind of on some of our minds. You've got different players. And you need to have them on your team. You don't need to have 9 second basemen. When you're looking at the Planning Commission, are you looking at trying to get a particular role or a particular background plugged in, or are you looking for 9 second basemen?
You know, it's interesting with the makeup of the Planning Commission, because you do have a couple at-large members, and, you know, for those, I would think we are trying to round out maybe something that's missing, or, you know, it's a little bit different. When you have the planning commissioner that's appointed by the individual supervisors, and I can only speak for myself, but what I'm looking for with that person is someone who I believe can present a balanced view, but who also
a balanced view of what?
Well, that's what I'll get at. I want someone who shares my perspective in a lot of ways. Obviously, you know, they're going to be my planning commissioner appointment. I want to be able to have very, you know, good conversations. Linda Dizier was my most recent one. And, you know, with Linda, I knew that she had the ability to look at the different sides of the issue. She may have come into the role being assumed to be as a member of HELP, that she was going to be one-sided, and I think in her time there, she showed people she can look at all sides of the issue. And so when I say balance, that's what I mean. And I think there's this perception that because someone, you know, does X for a living, therefore they are only going to make decisions that benefit that, you know, part of the community. And I think that's not correct.
A little bit more self-serving than perhaps. And I suppose it is a bit of a challenge that if your circle is of a certain group, that's probably where you're going to be spending most of your time rather than being able to step back. Now, did Linda or her replacement have the responsibility to represent the fourth and that's it? Or as soon as the swearing-in ceremony occurs and the water is splashed and everybody, you know, shakes hands, is everybody then equal status and everybody's concerned equally about the county?
Yes. It's just the same. I believe the same with the Board of Supervisors. You know, I might be primarily responsible for constituents in the 4th District, but I have to look at the county as a whole and what I think is the best, you know, way to proceed. And that's how the Planning Commission works together. And you know, the different views are great. And there have been some really spirited debates, but when people respect one another's different opinions, you get good decisions. And so certainly they need to work together. They're not always going to agree. In fact, I'm sure there's times, like our board, that there's times that they may never agree on certain issues. But, you know, it's important to find someone who has a bigger picture perspective.
So when you were looking to replace either with Linda or for Linda, what, you're looking for somebody who's a clone of yourself?
No, probably I need somebody who's got a bigger picture view than I do and greater experience than I do. I think I have a lot of experience and I have some great ideas, but I know that there are areas where I'm lacking, and that's where I look for an expert in the field that I think can add something to conversation that I can't add.
So a planning commissioner, is this a planning? Is this somebody who is been around a long time, somebody from a different community, somebody who's only a Humboldter? I mean, how do you get those? I mean,
there are matrices
that are there.
No, I think it's personal preference. I know recently the newest planning commissioner, well, prior to this appointment, had lived in the community for maybe 10 years, and, you know, this was Supervisor Lovelace's appointment, and represented probably more of what you consider his views. I look for someone. I was looking, whether it was with Linda or with who I brought on board, someone who has a long-term perspective of Humboldt County, similar, you know, has lived here their entire life, I think is a good thing, because I think we can't keep looking at, you know, what, you know, I think we have to balance, you know, folks who live here for their lifetime and folks who have recently moved here who feel that they'd like to make a difference and a change. And but if I'd found someone, you know, who had moved here very recently that I felt had the experience level and represented similar, you know, I'd say experience and perspective, I could have gone with them.
So who did you go with?
Didn't I tell you you're my new planning commissioner?
Yeah. Boy, you want to get blowback, huh?
No. I'm already, you know, blowback's already happened, but I thought I'd try that. No, I am. Actually, Kevin McKinney, who I would suspect several in your listening audience knows, and long time, actually lived here in his entire life. And yes, he works in construction. That's his family business. You know,
but he's done a bunch of other stuff.
Well, that's what I'm pointing out to people that are going, oh my gosh, you know, the board is not balanced. It's like, you know, he's served 26 years on the Humboldt Community Services District. He understands the water, you know, issues of serving, you know, and development and why there are constraints. And he's been on LAFCO for 3 terms. That's a local area formation commission. And one of LAFCO's primary charges is preservation of open space and, you know, keeping sprawl to a minimum. And I've heard Kevin at meetings actually basically argue against growth inducement. You know, so he's got an experience level that lets him see what the issues are, but he also understands, you know, the needs of the community and keeping, you know, the importance of open space and you know, confinement of sprawl to a minimum. I mean, open space to a maximum and sprawl, you know.
I know what you were saying.
I know. But, you know, besides that, too, he was also involved in the Humboldt County permit streamlining process, which I think is something that was back in 1988. I think it's something we are needing to look at again, and I believe we are. I think he could be very instrumental in helping with that. He was also involved in the 1994 Eureka Area Community Plan update on behalf of the County of Humboldt. I mean, working with the county.
No, that was before the last general plan was over 10 years old.
Okay. But, you know, but the Eureka Area Community Plan, the community plans are so important because they basically trump, you know, the county. They're extremely important. And the city of Eureka, I'm sure, you know, they're starting their planning general plan update. So that's going to be updated as well, I would suspect.
So he's been involved in a bunch of different things, and he kind of knows his way in and out.
Yeah, he's actually, and also one I didn't know about was the California Water Agency's Joint Powers Insurance Board for 16 years. I can't even tell you what that one does, but I would suspect that there's a lot of experience that he can bring forward.
That's another something that you're going to have to do a little research on. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:48. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, as you take a look-see around some of the different things that are out there, I know it's not just Planning Commission and just Planning Commission appointees that's been occupying your days. You've been doing these Thursday morning meeting pretty much for about 3 or 4 months now.
Yes.
Is there any result that's coming out of that, or does everybody now recognize who everybody else is and smile and wave and say thank you very much?
You know, I think we all want to see fast results, and we've sat back recently, on the advice of Chief Mills, who has joined the group immediately upon his coming to Eureka, has brought up some very good points. Like from his perspective, let's just go back to the simplest. Behind the mall, there's homeless encampments everywhere. You can't just, you know, move people. What also was a problem he brought up was the police can't do enforcement without having an adequate number of places for people to go that are displaced. As in places to live.
It's like mercury. You push it from one spot, it goes somewhere else.
And that doesn't mean, though, that you have to have a spot for everyone. But what we found out is if you don't have housing to go along with that beyond rescue mission, he can't do his enforcement because then there are legal issues that become involved. So we're stepping back, looking at things, doing a facilitated process to get to the real issues of where can we make the biggest impact. And I do believe that much of what we do, we need to work through, find the facts about what he needs in order to do his enforcement, because that takes care of a very serious portion of the community that may have become problematic. And it's not even so much homeless. This was in regards to the people that you may be wanting to refer to as vagrants, which has a whole different frame, because it's not about the people who really need a place to live. We have to help. We have to help them. We just need to figure out who all the players are.
Yeah, I think Andy will help you out a whole lot.
He's great.
Yeah, regular guy. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You betcha. Happy Lincoln's birthday.
Oh, yeah. I'll try to remember that.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone, love someone.